Well, welcome back to the Prayer Podcast. I'm Pastor Joe Patterson here with Pastor Christy Allen, and we have a special guest today joining us as we continue this conversation about lament. This is podcast number 3 in this series, exploring lament and the gifts of lament and how God has really gifted us with the opportunity to cry out to Him, to allow Him to be with us through pivotal moments, to support us and guide us through real challenging circumstances. And so welcome to this conversation. And Wendell Van Valen, our minister of our Pathways ministry here at Broadway United Methodist Church, we're so excited that you have joined us today.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So, Christy, this is a good friend of ours here that we're talking
yes.
with.
And we appreciate Wendell's the way you approach life in general, just with honesty and openness, and we know that hasn't necessarily always been the case, and that when we were thinking about lament and what that can look like in practice and how that can be helpful in our lives and how sometimes we run from that and don't understand it, we thought you might be able to help us out with that. So what does lament mean to you? Like, what does that look like in your life? And when you think about that, maybe what kind of things come to mind?
Really, conceptually, I mean, if you want to hear my story, I'll share that with you as well, because it was an incident that kind of was a breakthrough moment, a paradigm changer for me. But conceptually, outside of my experience, I really base lament on the idea that God's original plan was for us to be naked and unashamed. Mm. That when he came up with what he came up with, it's like, I want you to be who you are all the time, and I will be who I am all the time. And how we messed up is we decided, I want to be better than who I am.
Yes.
And so that messed things up. But the original thing was based on absolute vulnerability and honesty and forthrightness. And I don't know if Adam and Eve complained to God, but I certainly think they could have.
Yeah, sure.
They felt free. So conceptually, that's what I think the idea of this raw honesty with God comes from. It comes from the garden. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the theology behind it. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So you mentioned that there was a specific moment or event or story behind how you kind of had a breakthrough with this whole idea. So if you would share that with us, I think that would help us all kind of grasp from the theology part to what does this look like in real life? Because we can all agree, I think, that that sounds awesome. And yes, that would be how God would intend it for us to be together, for us to live life together in a very open, honest, naked way. But what does that look like for us here in 2018, and what does that mean? So yeah, if you would share that story, that'd be awesome.
I have a little red truck. I drove it to work today. It's a 2000 model Ford Ranger. Shameless plug for Ford Rangers. But anyway,
You're forgiven.
I've had it for years and years. And I had it when I pastored in Tennessee, the last church I pastored down there. They virtually kicked me out. It wasn't for moral improprieties or anything. I was actually trying to minister to people in the community that they didn't think I should minister to. And there were some other things going on. But anyway, I didn't want to paint myself as some sort of immoral person, which...
Sure. Would jump to mind when you
You got kicked out of church. But anyway, so I wasn't doing what they wanted me to do. So when that happened, the powers that be in my old denomination, basically after 25 years of service, and I jumped through every hoop they'd asked me to, I'd never had a blemish on my record. I'd pastored kids camps and youth camps and served on committees and everything. The denomination that I'd worked in for over 25 years, basically, the attitude was, well, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out. It was just, they weren't very gracious and very supportive and very helpful. And they have since officially kicked me out, the denomination has. So there you go. But anyway, after 25 years, of only being all, that's the only life I knew is being a minister. We found ourselves here in Bowling Green, no job, no house, no money, no nothing, just here in Bowling Green. And I just had to pick up work wherever I could get it. And one day, we lived out Cemetery Road, and it was about 5 minutes to the interstate, to I-65. So I got in my little red truck, and I was heading to work, and I'd had it. I just couldn't take it anymore. So I started yelling at God, and I won't say exactly all the words I said, but I dropped the F-bomb a time or two.
You can imagine.
Yeah, we can.
I dropped the F-bomb a time or two. I called him every name I could think of and say, how dare you do this to me after 25 years of trying to serve you and trying to bring people to Christ and trying to do the right thing and trying to love on people, and this is what I get. And, I mean, I was yelling. I was screaming and yelling and crying, and I was livid. And it was like some kind of emotional dam burst. And everybody from around here knows that there's a stoplight right at the, almost at the top of the overpass over I-65.
Right.
And I got a red light. So I'm pulling up to that, and I stopped. And all of a sudden I thought, what did I just do? I mean, it was like, I'm in trouble. Mm. I'm in enormous trouble. And almost audibly, in the passenger seat, God says, I've been waiting for this conversation for a long time.
Wow.
That's what I got. And instead of a beating or, you know, some sort of guilt or shame, it was more like my Heavenly Father saying, you know, crawl up in my lap and let me give you a hug. Now we got something to work with. Yeah. Now we have the truth out on the table. I've known all along how you were feeling. You needed to say it to me, and now we can work with this. And it's like my relationship with him completely changed at that time. I realized it was not him who did it to me. He didn't do anything wrong to me. It was people. And I was ready to fall back in love with him.
Sure.
And it got deeper and deeper. So that was the incident. And it's a hard sell. In Pathway, you try to explain to people, stop doing this fake dance with God.
Yeah.
Stop trying to make him think this is going on when really this is going on. And just get real. And people, they don't want to go there.
You know, Chris and I were talking a little bit about this kind of image of what we do as human beings, of this if you picture a picture of an individual with their arm extended out to God, mm-hmm. we start with everything figured out, and we have just a, you know, hand up to him saying, you know, stay up there.
I got this.
Yeah.
You know, and then like the hand changes when we need him to hold us up or to mm-hmm. lift us up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we just move our hand motions from stay up there to I need you. Never until we have a moment like you explained, do we authentically have this moment where he's sitting in mm-hmm. the passenger seat with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he most likely wants to be with us every living moment of the day.
Yeah. Well, that what happened in that truck, and I don't know where you want to go with this today, but what happened in that truck began a whole new, not a whole new theology, but an experience, a day-to-day experience of realizing that to breathe is to pray, to think is to pray, to eat is to pray. Instead of having formal prayers now, what I do is I just chat with God. Absolutely. About, I don't really like that guy over there, and here's why I don't like him. And if you really want to know my opinion, I wish you would pull the rug out from under him, and la, la, la. Those conversations used to be, oh, God, I'm so sorry I feel bad toward that guy. No, I shouldn't feel bad toward that guy. Change my feelings toward that guy. It never worked. My feelings never changed. But being honest like that with God like I was in my truck, being honest about my feelings, and even trying to convince him that my feelings are legit, there's something that happens. I don't know what. I can't explain that part of it. I don't have a theology for it. But the experience of it is that when you're sitting there hating on somebody to God, the conversation doesn't go well. I mean, it goes very well, but it doesn't. It's really hard to convince God that that guy's hateable. Mm-hmm. You know, and God's sitting there smiling and shaking his head like you are right now. And he's saying, okay, just keep going. Tell me how I'm supposed to hate this guy. You know, I love him. Sorry. You know, and you're sitting there trying to convince. Because David did that. You know, he talked about his enemies. You know, I want you to disembowel them, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure God just sat there and nodded like, just keep pouring it out there. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, David inevitably would be like, well, I know you've got it, and I know it's going to be, you know, he came around. But he had to get that honest part out.
And I think as you were saying that, I was thinking about how a lot of us in life have a person that we download to, that we process with, you know, whether it's our spouse or our best friend or our parents or whoever that person is, where we feel safe, where we can say those things like, oh, this happened at work and I'm so mad at whoever and, you know, whatever the scenario might be. And so we all have that safe person. But I think you're right. When it comes to God, where we don't want to go there,
right.
And we feel. I love that you were talking about shame earlier, because I think we all do that without even calling it that. But how, even in the, oh, I don't like that person, we're ashamed to admit that to God that we don't. But the irony is, he knows that. And then, like you said, he's probably sitting there smiling and maybe patting you on the head, mm-hmm. going, yeah, and I love you too. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can feel that way. But in thinking of how we do that with our friend or spouse or whoever, we usually feel better after we just kind of, all right, I just had to get that out. You know, I feel bad. Yeah. I just had to dump and, you know, let that out, you know, or whatever, you know, get that thought out there. And then we kind of move on from it. But how much freer would we be in life? And even then, so then when you were talking about, then you physically felt him, audibly felt him talking to you, how then you become closer. And there really is a conversation of, okay, well, now that I've identified and told you and a confession, you know, confessed that that's how I feel. And I know it's not right, but that's how I feel. And God's like, yeah, but you know, now what are we going to do?
Yeah.
How then it's a conversation and not just
a
complaining session, you know what I mean? Which we all, like when we do it with people, it just becomes a complaining session and we don't want the person to fix it or do anything. We just want to put it there. But with God, maybe can you talk about that a little bit? Like how does then, because you said it didn't really transform your heart when you ask him to, like, change my opinion about that person, because
I know
I'm ashamed that I feel that way.
Yeah.
But how then does that shift the conversation, and what does maybe that look like a little bit when you really do have that open intimacy with God where you can do that with him? And
I think you need to hear yourself saying what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
In Pathway, we have three steps. One is you think it, the second is you write it, and the third is you tell it. And all three are crucial. And the third one, to speak it out loud to God, I hate that guy. Let's not beat around the bush. I hate that guy. I would like to see him dead, or at least gone from my vicinity. I don't, you know. Don't whitewash it. Don't just tell him how you feel. And I mean, he does the Dr. Phil thing with me all the time. He's like, so how's that working for you?
Yeah, you know.
But you've got to hear yourself say it first. Did I really say that? Am I willing to go on record as saying that to God? And it becomes very real, instead of this little nagging feeling, well, I know I don't have the best feelings toward that guy. When you're doing that, you're complaining because you have acid indigestion.
Right.
You're just complaining because this is not comfortable.
Right.
When you speak it out to God, I hate that guy and I would like to see him dead, all of a sudden it turns from acid indigestion from, whoa, this says a lot about me right now. This says a lot about that this person, this situation is pushing my buttons to the place that I'm feeling hate.
Yeah.
And then God can step in and say, okay, now we've got something real to work with. There is an issue in you that's causing you to hate this guy. Now let's get to that. Let's find out where that is. And sometimes he'll, you know, a lot of times in my case, he'll bring somebody into my life who I can unpack this with, or sometimes it'll just be contemplative thought, and he'll give these aha moments of, this is what the real issue is. Mm-hmm. It's not that guy. The real issue is this, and it's inside you. But you can't get there until you just get, you know, if I'm beating around the bush, I kind of don't like this guy, or he was so mean to me. No, I hate the guy. Boom, there I said it. Now we got something to work with.
Yeah. You know, we hit the podcast. You know, we don't want to certainly be prescriptive, but we want to be inspirational, and we want to create a conversation in which people will be inspired and have aha moments, you know. And you know, we feel like there's probably folks out here listening to this podcast right now that are just like, I don't know how to do that. Mm. You know, I don't know how to do what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or that still feels wrong.
Yes,
or
it feels. Yeah. Yeah. I feel a lot of guilt when I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to what you feel as humans, what we need to be aware of in us that may cause us to be inhibited when we want or need to lament to God.
I mean, if we really have the inhibition, then that's where we need to start. The conversation needs to start. God, I don't know how to be honest with you.
Mm. Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And for some reason I'm scared to, or it prompts shame in me, or, you know, whatever you're feeling, explore that with God. Whatever it is, I'm inhibited around you. I don't like the garden scenario of naked and unashamed. That turns me off. I don't want to do that. I feel too vulnerable, too whatever. Then you need to explore that with God. You know, where did this come from? That's why I love what we do in Pathway, is because recovery, we're not talking about drugs and alcohol. We're talking about human recovery, of human recovery from human hurts. 90% of recovery is discovery.
Yes.
And so we need to discover the truth about ourselves. And I don't think we can do that outside of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit. And that's what's active. He's who's active when we have these conversations. And he knows all the residual crap that's inside of us, and he knows what to bring up when, and, you know, and to help us connect dots and begin to make sense out of ourselves. So if we're inhibited, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you're inhibited about, I don't want to get real with God, explore that inhibition.
Yeah.
Just explore that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Don't say, okay, I'll yell at God. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Say, why am I hesitant to do this?
What are the barriers here?
Yeah.
Where
is it shame? Is it fear? Well, why am I afraid of God? He's my daddy. Why would I be afraid of him?
Right. And when you, yeah, I was just going to say that. To me, a lot of, when you think of where do I start with this, and for a lot of us, it's, do I really believe he loves me enough that he's okay with me being this way?
Yeah.
You know, and when you were saying earlier about kind of unpacking why you hate that guy or whatever, and then it became self-exploration and God saying, well, now there's something in you that we got to look at, and that examination of ourselves, which none of us like to do. Like we've talked about that in the podcast before about, you know, when it comes down to, you know, where do I need forgiveness, or where do I need to, you know, reflect on myself? We don't like to do that, but, the freedom when we finally learn how to do that, and then we really can feel that love, that overwhelming, unconditional, you do love me enough to let me be this mess and help me through it.
We really limit God. We have these silly ideas that limit God, make him small. And to think that God's going to get his feelings hurt because we get honest with him, really, really, our God's that small, that tender, that sensitive, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Wendell, go ahead, Joe.
We're so thankful that you've joined us today.
Oh, and, great. It's been fun.
You know, I think when it comes down to it, we just have to, we sometimes have an inability to just fully grasp the amount of love that God has for us, mm-hmm. and the openness He has to these types of conversations and these types of realities that we experience. And we feel like we're experiencing them in a vacuum, and He's experiencing them with us, regardless of whether we've got a hand up to Him or asking for His help. He's with us. His movements are active in all places, in all people, in all times.
Mm, absolutely.
And, you know, if you think of just how much, if you have kids, just how much you love your kids, and multiply that by infinity, you might just scratch the surface of how much love God has for each of His children, each of us. And so that type of love, I feel like, is certainly, there is space for lament. There's space for conversations like this. There's space for these types of, not to say they're easy, but there is space in your relationship with God to have these types of conversations with Him, where you're real, where you're vulnerable, and you open yourself to Him. So we're thankful that you've joined us today, and we invite you to join us next week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.